Hello and welcome. It's Thursday, and we're back over to recording the latest on our series of recordings with books and things that I've written. This next selection is actually, I'm just going to do one chapter of this. I've got something in mind for next week, but this week I'm going to be doing Mystery at the Library. At least that's the original. The original title is a working title of this. It is a work in progress. A bunch of chapters. I've got this going all over the place, but we will we'll find out more about that a little bit later, I'm sure. Mystery at the Library, and we're going to start off, or we're just going to do chapter one. It's called An Unpleasant Discovery. Chester O'Reilly sat behind the wheel of his ancient Chrysler in the parking lot of the Magnolia Public Library, as he did every Monday morning, waiting for the librarian to come by with the usual bag of Danish and coffee to share before the library opened. On this particular Monday, Chester had no sense of anticipation whatsoever. At least that's what Dorothy Dandridge discovered when she came to wake him up. "Chester, cheese Danish, your favorite," she said as she shook him through the open car window. He slumped over toward the mound of periodicals which occupied the passenger seat, or, for that matter, most of the other seats except for the driver's seat. He was cold. He was pale. "You're dead!" Dorothy exclaimed, dropping two large containers of coffee and a bag containing three cheese Danish fresh from Mulligan's IGA up the street. She took a step back, not knowing whether to scream or just stand there until someone else happened by and relieved her of the responsibility of having to deal with the body of someone who had been a regular nearly every Monday morning since she arrived in Magnolia. "Help!" The word just barely made it past her lips. She stood there, frozen for another minute. "Good morning, Dorothy. Good morning, Chester. Beautiful day in store." Lizzie Elston waved from the sidewalk on the other side of the street as she headed downtown. "Help!" Dorothy sputtered again. She quickly cleared her throat and tried again. "Help! Help me!" She had caught Lizzie's attention. "Miss Elston, get help, please!" Lizzie crossed the street. "Whatever's the matter, dear? You look like you've seen..." Her comment abruptly stopped when she sized up the situation. "Oh, my! Is he?" Lizzie made a quick evaluation of the situation before she had the presence of mind to call someone to report Chester's unfortunate situation. Mrs. Oliver from the trailer home on the other side of the library arrived, saw what had happened, and issued a proper scream. Her scream attracted other neighbors who kept collecting, not knowing what to do until Magnolia Police Chief Harold Richmond came by to see what all the frou-frou was about. "I found him here just a few minutes ago. I thought he was asleep, but..." "I see, Miss Dandridge." The people who had gathered cleared a path for Harold as he approached, closing in behind him as he got to the scene of the incident. "Let's see if I can get a hold of Roy and the county coroner so they can take a look." He felt the presence and sensed a murmur in the crowd behind him while he called the sheriff. He turned to address the impromptu gathering while waiting for someone to answer his call. "Would you folks please take 10 steps back while I get the sheriff and the coroner down here? Hello, Jimmy? This is Harold down in Magnolia." The crowd, with the exception of Dorothy and Lizzie, moved back. They all strained to hear Harold's end of the conversation. "We have a situation at the library here, Jimmy, and we need Roy. If he ain't busy, that is. While you're at it, get hold of Doc Colopy, too. We have a body." Dorothy watched as Harold contorted his face while he was listening to Jimmy on the other end of the phone. "No, we don't need the EMS. All we need is Denver and Roy. And you can come, too, if you want to get someone to cover that dispatch desk while you're still here." "Jesus H. Christ," Harold exclaimed when he had finished the phone call. "That boy's dumber than a brain-dead chihuahua." Harold pulled a spiral notebook out of his back pocket and flipped it open. "Now, Miss Dandridge, when did this happen?" "Well, I just told you it was a couple of minutes ago." "Did you touch anything?" "Well, other than just spill your coffee," he asked, looking at the bag of baked goods and the coffee now on the ground. "Well, no, I... no." Harold looked back at the crowd. Hey, would someone run down to Zeke's and get a couple of large, make that three large coffee, cream, and sugars to go, please? He looked out and saw at least three heads move in the direction of the restaurant. Did you see this too, Miss Lizzie? He said, turning his attention back to the woman nearest Chester's Chrysler. Well, I was on my way downtown for my Monday cup of tea at Zeke's when I saw Miss Dandridge here with Chester and came over to see if I could help. She looked Chief Richmond in the eye. You didn't order that third cup of coffee for me, did you? I normally don't drink coffee except for after dinner, but if you ordered some for me, it was mighty nice of you to offer. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Lizzie. I just thought, I like mine sweetened with honey, Miss Dandridge offered. Decaf, no cream. I brought some decaf for Mr. O'Reilly here, thinking that he might enjoy the change. Chester's not going to notice today, Miss Dandridge, Harold mentioned without thinking. Chief Richmond is right, Dorothy. He won't care, seeing as he's now part of the choir invisible. Lizzie looked at the body for a moment, shook her head. Don't you think that Chester should be covered before Roy gets here from Prentice? I suppose so, Harold agreed. Can someone here bring a blanket or an old bedsheet we could use? No one in the crowd seemed willing to volunteer. The only reaction to the request was someone saying that the victim looked so natural. Harold resumed his questioning. Did you see him before you went? Well, why did you get coffee at Mulligan's instead of at Zeke's? Lizzie interrupted before Harold could get the question he had for Dorothy out of his mouth. Miss Lizzie, Zeke doesn't sell the Danish that Mr. O'Reilly likes, Dorothy explained. Miss Dandridge, Miss Lizzie, please, I need to ask the questions here, Harold blurted out. Well, said Lizzie after a short, awkward silence. Well, what, Miss Lizzie? What did you need to ask? I need to know when you... Scratch that. I need to know if Miss Dandridge here noticed anything unusual when she found Mr. O'Reilly this morning. Oh, yes, he was dead, Lizzie answered the question, not realizing that the question did not require an answer from her. I think he means other than that, Dorothy told Lizzie. I was the one who found him, and for the record, the answer is no. Harold stuck his head into the car for the first real look at the guest of note. He carefully lifted some of the papers inside the car, looking to see if anything had been disturbed. I'm surprised the man has never had an accident carrying all of this trash in his nice old car of his, Lizzie remarked. Lizzie, I'll get to you in a moment, Harold said, pulling his head out of the car and facing the two women. Dorothy, are you sure you didn't notice anything unusual? Dorothy thought for another few moments. No. Now, Miss Lizzie, it's your turn. Did you notice anything unusual when you came here this morning? No, I usually stay on the other side of the street when I see him in that junkmobile of his. I'm surprised the thing has never caught fire with all that paper and everything else he usually carries in there. It's a disgusting mess. He was a sweet old man, came a voice from the growing crowd. Never had a crossword for anyone, came another voice. He said he'd marry me and take me away from all this. My Chester told me the same thing. What are you talking about? Chester told me. Dorothy picked out at least four different voices, each claiming that Chester O'Reilly had promised them matrimony. The situation might have gotten out of hand had it not been for the fact that Harold had put his traffic whistle to his mouth, blowing it practically in Dorothy's ear. Ladies, he bellowed, this is a crime scene. Go home. It will all be sorted out later. This can't be a crime scene. If it was a crime scene, there'd be a car burned up from having all that paper and everything else Chester carries in it set on fire to cover the crime. Lizzie, would you please quit about the paper in the car already? Well, Harold Richmond, if you were still in my class, which I'm not, I'd be dragging you to the principal's office by your ear for telling me to be quiet. Miss Lizzie, you have no right to listen to me. After all, my family had a major role in the history of town ever since, blah, blah, blah. I'm not your student. You retired, and I'm the duly appointed chief of police for the town of Magnolia. Harold looked over in the direction of Zeke's. There was another wave of about a dozen people coming in his direction, half a dozen of them bearing styrofoam cups with lids on them. Before he could comment on the approaching brigade, the sounds of sirens could be heard approaching from the distance. The sheriff was on his way. Harold just shook his head. Who wanted the coffee, cream, and sugar? One of the new arrivals asked. Give it to Harold, someone suggested. Miss Dorothy prefers tea, decaf with honey, and Miss Lizzie only drinks tea. I'll take the damn coffee, Dorothy said through clenched teeth. Thank you. She took the cup offered to her and took a sip. Not bad. Not the best cup she had had in the 4 years since she got out of college, but certainly not the worst. Look, everybody, Harold pointed out after having a sip of his coffee. Sheriff Roy will be here in about a minute or so. Please clear a path and give us some room, okay? Is there going to be a priest coming? Wouldn't O'Reilly be Catholic? Someone piped up. No priest, just the sheriff and the coroner. Oh, well, shouldn't someone call a priest? Someone else asked. I'm sure someone already has, a third voice chimed in. How about calling at least calling Dan Stevens, someone else suggested. He's not a priest, but he'll do in the pinch. Dorothy thought that Harold Richmond looked a bit frazzled on the edges. There was certainly quite a bit going on, despite his entreaties for calm and order. She looked back into the Chrysler to see Chester's body slumped over to the side. This was the first time she had ever been in the presence of a real live dead body. It was nothing at all like she expected from years of reading murder mysteries. The corpse in those mysteries was either neat as a pin or covered in blood. Chester was nothing but himself, a bit sloppy, in need of a shave, but other than that, there was nothing to indicate foul play. It appeared as if he was merely asleep. If he had a gunshot wound or a knife in the back, things would be quite different. That would be a jumping-off point for a novel with all sorts of clues and red herrings and a villain who, despite all of his or her resourcefulness, would be caught in the end. During the stir of people asking whether or not there was a priest available for the soul of dear Chester, Sheriff Roy Ball made his appearance. He drove up in his personal squad car, a lightly disguised Dodge fitted with enough equipment to make it look like, well, look a lot meaner than it really was. He effectively cleared the crowd to drive up into the parking lot next to the passenger side of Chester's Chrysler. Dorothy almost started to laugh when he got out of his car and walked over to the driver's door of the recently deceased. He was a shorter, portly man with thinning white hair, mirrored sunglasses, and a toothpick hanging out of the corner of his mouth. What do we have here, Harold? Looks like a heart attack sometime this morning. It's Chester. Roy poked his head in the car, shook the body just a bit, pulled out and looked toward Lizzie. You're the one that found him, Lizzie? No, it was Miss Dandridge, the librarian. Dorothy nodded her head in agreement. Was he like this when you got here, miss? Well, he was sitting upright until I reached in and tried to wake him up. Thanks, Miss Dandridge, Dorothy Dandridge. That's all I need from you, Miss Dorothy. I'll call you if I need you. Dorothy thanked the sheriff, then knelt down to pick up the coffee cups and the bag with the Danish in it, which she had been standing on for the last 10 minutes. She noticed a business card stuck to the bag where the cream cheese filling had seeped through the bag to create enough of a bond to let the card hitchhike to the bag itself. Curiosity got the better of her. She lightly freed the card from the bag, turned it over, and read it. Roy Ball, Sheriff, Fuller County. And that's our first chapter. I say it's a work in progress. Next week, got one of two books that I'm thinking about getting started and doing a long haul with. So you might want to get ready with it. I will do it by chapter, so as we did with my original the original book that I had read out loud. That one, incidentally, is still kind of pending, rolling around in my mind. Haven't gotten around to it to doing any more editing. I've been spending time here with Mystery at the Library. A couple of notes in here. Mystery at the Library is going to have some reference to the late Stan Planton, who was a librarian up at Ohio University Chillicothe. Stan was a friend. He and I corresponded through the last few months of his life about various subjects, including my writing. I feel that this is appropriate. The mystery at the library actually started out about 3 years ago. The wife and I sat down and thought about doing a murder mystery, with using the initial portion of getting Chester being dead in the car. That was after an observation that I had over at the Allen, Texas Public Library. There was a fellow that would be there, was a regular patron, who drove a Cadillac with literally papers stacked on the inside of the car, leaving enough room for him to drive, but not really much else. That car can be seen there from time to time as we go, or as you would care to do. If you're ever in the neighborhood, I could take you by the library and give you a show on that. The library that I'm using as a model for this is the Princeton, Texas Public Library. Very small deal. The character Dorothy Dandridge, I'm putting her just out of college. I'm modeling her to a certain degree about one of my daughter's friends who went to library went and is working at the Allen Library right now, as I understand it. Very nice woman who's been a friend of my daughter's since since they were in high school. Anywho, that about does it, including the notes. Gee whiz, only looks like about 16 minutes and 11 seconds. It's been a veritable ball. Don't take any nickels, and see you out there.